Hi, you guys. This is Richard Sachs. This is Lost Arts Radio Live. Nice to see you again. This is going to be an incredible show. It's going to go by really fast, so some of you may want to watch it again from the recording, and this is going to be important, as they all are. And whether you're in America now or anywhere in the world, you know that all the societies that aren't under total tyranny at this point are under attack to try to bring them into that condition. And the two main visible attacks right now are, and you could probably name both of them, right, most of you, and it's the fake pandemic and the paid riots. And unfortunately, all the people out of work from the fake pandemic really need a job, and some of them are being attracted by, you know, $200 or $300 a day to become a paid rioter, no experience necessary, although experience is preferred, but you know, you don't really have to have a lot of skill, just know how to destroy things and be really mad. You don't have to know what you're mad about, but be really angry. And so there's a lot of people taking that job right now, millions of them apparently, because there's plenty of money for payroll. And freedom is under attack from both of those things and a lot of other things that are slightly more under the surface that will be exposed later on in sequence. It's not just the pandemic, it's the planned theater for the whole takedown of society, which needs to be reversed. And so we need a lot of clarity and creativity to do that. It's still possible. So looking at one of those two attacks right now, since we only have a very short amount of time on this live show, we're going to look at the pandemic part of it, which is all based on a virus that supposedly did originate in a U.S. lab and then was shipped over with U.S. money to a Chinese lab to finish it up so that it wouldn't be shut down by presidents who might not go along with it once they found out. And then it was released almost certainly on purpose because of the announcements beforehand. And then it spread around the world. So we have a lot to talk about just on that one issue. And we have our friend, Dr. Judy Mikovits, with us. And I'm trying to talk fast, not chipmunk speed, but fast enough so we have maximum time left to talk. And I want to read you, so I'm not going from memory, her official little bit of her official bio. So, you know, to me, she's just a really good friend who's very awake and aware of what's going on in the world. But officially, it's Judy Mikovits, PhD, and this is from the new book that we'll talk about. It's the bio in that. She spent 20 years at National Cancer Institute working with Dr. Frank Rossetti, one of the founding fathers of human retrovirology, and has co-authored more than 50 scientific papers. She co-founded and directed the first Neuroimmune Disease Institute using a systems biology approach in 2006. Dr. Mikovits lives in Southern California with her husband, David, and we're going to find out a lot more about her work and the book. So welcome, Dr. Mikovits, and we have some important things to talk about.
Yes, we do, Richard. Thank you for having me.
Sure. So, you know, knowing that this time will be over in a flash, I thought, just so that we cover the important points, and since, as you know, we like to bring in people who don't have the background and maybe just now noticed there was a pandemic or wondering what's a pandemic and, you know, what's the whole thing about, we can very quickly bring them up to speed, other than what I already said about it being released from a laboratory where it was made. When we watch the news that's been coming out since the revelation of people collapsing in China, and, you know, some of those pictures were really dramatic, people walking along the sidewalk and then they just collapse on their face, and it looked pretty realistic because they had blood and everything coming out, and that looked like a pretty serious situation. And that was the beginning of what started getting huge amounts of people panicked that, you know, this is just not some sickness, this is just gonna, you know, kill the world in the first week. It looked really bad. So what was happening in China, and what was making those people fall on their faces and not get up except for the seizures they were obviously having happening? And then what are the steps that it went briefly from there to where we are now?
Well, what the narrative we're told was that there was a new coronavirus, which was is closely related to the SARS virus of 2001. SARS means severe acute respiratory syndrome virus. So this was called SARS-CoV-2. And what was learned about it early on, as you mentioned, as it was made by using bat mixing bat virus tissues with cell lines from monkeys and growing it in the monkey cell lines. And then that aerosolized it, that made it, there some recombinant viruses that made it infectious and contagious. It had HIV sequences in it, and so it could infect white blood cells. And of course, you know, that the release into from that laboratory in Wuhan to people who were susceptible, because there's very high levels of air pollution in Wuhan to irritate the lungs and the nasal passages. And there's also a tremendous amount of 5G that had just been put into Wuhan. So here you had a perfect storm, really, in those people who were first exposed, in that they already had lung damage and issues, and coronaviruses, SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome. So it's severe and it's acute. And the 5G has the effect, that frequency, that energy frequency, releases hemoglobin from iron, and the iron goes into the blood, and that creates the same cytokine inflammatory storm, that it's ferritin in the blood, and that's the same storm as the virus causes, and that all can cause microvasculature leakage and blood supply, and you literally can collapse on the street from cardiac arrest and literally the microvasculature damage, stroke, and things like that, which we know happens in people. But there was so much more than that, because it wasn't, it's actually now coming to light that there's a lot more to what the virus is, and the virus actually has components of the gamma retrovirus families that came from mouse and monkey cell lines. Again, it was grown in a monkey cell line, and this was our discoveries back from 2009 to 2011. So people who are already infected, exposed and infected with those retroviruses like HIV or the XMRVs could therefore die very quickly as the virus is activated by the injection, by the flu vaccines, which carry other coronaviruses and other gamma retroviruses. So really what was really going on is driving this pandemic, not from person to person, but via, you know, vaccination, by a contaminated vaccination. And then that, because And here in the States, we see the same thing with the masks. You know, in China, they often wear the masks, not to prevent the infection necessarily, but to prevent the damage from the smoke and the air pollution, and other things to prevent the infection, any infection, from causing more havoc like we see. So that's the long and the short of it. And in the past 6 months here, we literally are now seeing in the United States, with Tony Fauci literally admitting that people with these susceptibilities, low glutathione, under oxidative stress, wearing the mask, previously vaccine injured, the autistic, the ME/CFS cancer patients, people with reactive airway disease. 50% of Americans have reactive airway disease, children with asthma. These are the people who are getting sick, and it's not from the virus necessarily, but from the masks and the measures that the government forced upon us, including it will be vaccines here in a few months and in a few weeks, if not already now, with the flu vaccine. So as everybody's eyes are turned towards waiting for a vaccine for so-called for SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19 has little really to do with SARS-CoV-2 in the United States, and it has everything to do with SARS plus HIV plus XMRVs from the monkeys and the mice that have been injected by way of vaccines in a contaminated blood supply for more than 30 years because they had not been safety tested and the population's been lied to. So what's really going on is a mass murder and cover up of the damage that's been done, primarily via the vaccine program and a contaminated blood supply for now 30 years under the watchful eye of Tony Fauci.
One of the things that you mentioned was the impact of 5G as part of the puzzle. And what I had understood is that 4G was mostly a frequency chosen for various reasons, including the fact that it impacted the H2O molecule and interfered with normal water assimilation. But 5G did the same thing with the O2 molecule and with the spin on it, and it interfered with the normal interaction of oxygen with the sensitive tissues on the inside of the lungs, where the capillaries are supposed to take, do a gas exchange. Does that seem right to you?
Yes, it does. And it's that frequency. So that 5G was ramped up in our major cities during the lockdown. Mm-hmm. We've got investigators and friends who are showing us like the streets of Hollywood where the trucks were getting the 5G in fast, 5G being put into schools. And of course, in those ICUs at the hospitals, what are those patients exposed to when they're already in there susceptible and sick? You've added an extra susceptibility even before the various mayors sent all the infected people to nursing homes to kill them.
Right. And a lot of the diagnostic, conventional diagnostic equipment in the hospitals involves heavy radiation, I think, as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so in New York, for example, where even now it's aside from the nursing home issue where, people are being, it looks like, intentionally infected by bringing the disease into the nursing homes. Aside from that, the rates are supposedly high, and it's hard to disentangle them from the false death counts and everything. But one of the reasons that some of the legitimate high counts might be happening is because there's a very dense proliferation of 5G within New York City, right?
Exactly, but also because of the forced masking. So the mask literally creates more oxidative stress. Remember, we've got atmospheric oxygen at 21.5 and by OSHA, by the federal safety standards at OSHA, if that oxygen gets below 19.5, it immediately starts doing damage to your brain, damage to your lungs, and you can literally create enough oxidative stress to activate the expression of viruses, further immune suppress, and you're literally spitting viruses through that mask. You will cough, especially if you have, like me, pleurisy, my husband, COPD, we can't wear a mask even for a few seconds without, coughing, and that will drive the virus further into our lungs as we're literally suffocating in the mask. So the mask is driving it along.
Having to pull in air through the mask under resistance. And oxygen has a pretty important function in the immune system, right?
No, absolutely. It's a key. It's no mystery that there's that certain very tight level of atmospheric oxygen that humans must breathe. And on the counter side of that, CO2, carbon dioxide, you exhale with every breath 4%, whereas in atmosphere, it's only 0.04%. So 100 times less CO2 in the air and the oxygen going in. And so you're actually concentrating toxic CO2 and only 10% CO2. Remember, you're exhaling 4%, but you're only taking in 0.04%. So this is, you know, one of the reasons why OSHA set these standards for like miners and working in laboratory conditions where there are toxic chemicals or smoke or fume or things like that. You have to make sure you get enough atmospheric oxygen and can expel the CO2. So in only a few minutes, a person can expel and take that 4% out of the exhalation and concentrate it above 10% in that mask. And that's part of the problem. And so that is creating huge oxidative stress. And again, things like being in an airplane above 10,000 feet, you're up above the ozone layer. So that's additional, what we call oxidative stress. Powerfully immune suppressive, and again will ping pong on that ferritin in the blood. That so the if you're in 5G, and that's another problem on planes and in trains where everybody's got a phone, and you've concentrated the energy further, causing it's really a nightmare of a ping pong. So we're led to believe that. We're led to believe it's this SARS-CoV-2 virus, which very few people have really been exposed to unless they've been injected with a contaminated flu vaccine, which, again, the worst was the one they used in Italy. But all flu vaccines, all animal virus vaccines carry coronaviruses, not necessarily that one. But again, a coronavirus crosstalk, they cause upper respiratory infections. So even though this one has turned out to be very much milder than normal flu season, it's actually the response to it and the hysteria that they deliberately created, which has caused the deaths and not the virus.
Yeah, there was a hopefully viral circulating video that we posted recently about there was a man with an OSHA meter, OSHA approved meter of oxygen levels, right? You saw that?
Correct.
And he put the probe behind the mask. Right. And OSHA says if it's less than 19 and a half, then it's not safe to breathe there.
Correct.
And his was at 17.6 or something like that.
Correct. And he was sitting, I believe that was from the healthyamerica.com.
Yes.
And so he was sitting in a truck. So one of the things I've been saying with the windows closed, and he's a truck driver and a healthy man, middle-aged man, and one of the things I've been saying very publicly and will continue to do so is that is a situation that is exactly driving under the influence. That's what alcohol does to you. It depletes your brain of oxygen because your liver has to go take care of alcohol because alcohol is very bad because it depletes oxygen. So it depletes your brain and you get confused. You can pass out and have an accident. So people in mass driving a car should be arrested for driving under the influence, because clearly in only a few minutes with the windows rolled up, you will deplete the oxygen below safe levels and can become confused, as many of my friends have told me.
You can imagine a policeman or woman wearing a mask under the same influence, arresting the person for being under the influence, and it's the same thing that they're doing. And a lot of our friends, including a couple of very high profile internet personalities, have had the misunderstanding, even though that they're focused on being scientific, that they said. This one person, friend I'm thinking of, said, well, the oxygen molecule is so small, that it can just float right through the mask and it can't possibly be restricted. And what they don't understand is it's not individual oxygen molecules, it's the volume of air, which is slowed down so that the exhale is saved. And once that's understood, then, yeah, they're poisoning everybody. And I don't think we're the only ones that know that.
Correct.
I think what it looks like to me is the people enforcing it, you know, the mayors and the governors and the city councils and county supervisors and people like that, they've got conventional education that they've memorized. And they say first thing you memorize is that CDC is always right and that those things can be cited in papers because everybody knows government agencies always tell the truth. But I think that the top level, they're not as subject to that programming, and they have, I think they've tested all the vaccines, I think they've tested the masks, and they wouldn't waste all this effort if they didn't know exactly what it was doing.
Correct, and even worse, so the virus is a thousand times smaller than even an N95 mask.
Right.
So viruses are all going straight through, and when the volume of air increases because you're suffocating and you breathe deeper and you make that more humid, and then alone is a breeding ground not only for the coronaviruses but for the other viruses, for bacteria, for mycoplasma, for mold, and that brings it further into your lungs, makes you sicker, more immune suppressed, and really can kill you and can kill the most vulnerable in the matter of minutes. But sadly, I heard a friend sent me a video this morning and said, Judy, will you comment on this? And it was the medical director of the Rayleigh Children's Hospital in San Diego. And not one thing this man said was true. And he said, oh, the masks protect you from infectious agent, and the science is settled and the science is simple here, and what we all have to do, and our children have huge viral loads, and here gatherings at barbecues, and this virus is very different from any other virus. Most flu viruses, most coronaviruses, the common cold viruses, people don't really appreciate there are many, many coronaviruses. They're here every year. They're the common cold. They're not influenza, they're the common cold. And here they're even smaller than influenza. But at any rate, here's the medical director of Children's Hospital sitting there with his stethoscope on and spitting this stuff that has absolutely no basis in science, and said, oh yeah, the science is all settled, just like for last year it was all the science is settled on vaccines, they're safe and effective. Here the mask science, he has absolutely no idea what he's talking about, and he's saying, and the interviewer, the news host lady is saying, but we want to go to barbecues and it's hot outside and that mask gets hot. And of course, you want to be with your friends. And he said that it's the worst thing you can do. Tell your friends they're no loving friends if they don't wear a mask. And that's the worst thing you can do. And the worst thing you can do is put your children in a mask. And children's aren't. There's no such thing as a super spreader that's a child. The children clear the virus. They have a healthy immune system. Those tests don't measure viral load. The test has nothing to do with it. They made it up the first time. They're making it up now in order to cover up that it's actually the distancing. And the distancing makes no sense, because if your mask protects you, then why do you need to stay 6 feet away? If the mask is stopping the spread of everything, why do we all need that? Not to touch each other.
If the science is settled, you don't have to ask those questions anymore. You can just memorize the answers and just obey that. And that's the new science, it seems to me. But
yeah, propaganda masquerading as science.
And they've come up with an ingenious twist on the mask being essential. Actually, what they've explained now with the new settled science is that your mask protects me and my mask protects you. My mask doesn't protect me, it protects you. And the reason that's really brilliant is that is the basis for, you have to make everybody else do it. And if your mask actually protected you, you wouldn't have to worry about the other people.
Wow. It's like the vaccines, right? If your vaccine actually worked, why do you care if I get one or not?
Yeah. No, it can fail because of the other people that didn't get it. Otherwise, it would work perfectly. And they also said early on that you can get it from your dog, that dogs do catch it like people. And I'm surprised they haven't required masks of dogs and cats, and maybe other, pets like reptiles and stuff too should probably be wearing them.
So. Well, it's a lot easier. Yes, dogs have lots of coronaviruses. Again, this is what we were just saying. And so that awful flu vaccine they forced on the Italians in January of 2019, they were four strains of influenza, including, and they're live attenuated strains.
Wow.
That replicate, and including H1N1, and it was grown in dog kidney cells. So
I'm sure they were totally sterile, though.
Right? Dog, you can get it from your dog, but you injected it. you didn't get infected from your dog breathing on you or licking you, or, you know, you got it from the injection of a flu vaccine grown in a dog cell line with lots of coronaviruses. And they know this, and that's the vaccine that they're pushing on America now. Look how successful they were with it in Italy. So why not just push it on America right now, and you'll guarantee the wave, the second wave, which they're already saying is happening, which makes no sense. You know, the coronaviruses aren't there in the summertime. We should all be out there breathing air and working with keeping each other healthy, not fearfully hiding in our houses, being angry.
The second wave officially did start in Texas and I think New Mexico and Arizona and probably Southern California, because what they did is CDC, to protect us against the second wave, just in case it ever was trying to start, they changed the system of calculating case numbers. And they don't need any real cases. They just need probable cases, which is somebody that's labeled as a probable case. They don't have to be tested or anything. And then the new system from that improved it by saying that once there's a probable case, 16 to 35 people around them are also designated as cases. So that's the second wave, and it's already here.
Right.
And the governors are reacting accordingly.
Yes, by masking up their society again and suffocating them. So, yeah, Arizona, they could go out. I mean, it was 110 in Arizona yesterday. Really?
Right.
And now you can't go out on a golf course without a mask on. So I'm just hoping my nephews, listen to Aunt Judy and not them. And I know they will. That's my nephews.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. So it's interesting, though, these super educated public health officials. I'm in the middle of the university system, too, in another role, and I'm noticing what they're teaching there. And they are teaching the science is settled approach, which means you memorize this. CDC says this. The consensus, there's always a consensus, is this, that everybody agrees with that. All the scientists think the same thing. And that's what you have. They have something called policy, which is de facto law without, you know, due process or anything, and it just becomes law when you declare it. And it seems like that's the system that we're transitioning into.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not transitioning into. We've been there a long time, and now it's just done. And if any publications from pre-internet days or the everything we've been doing for the last 40 years, you just simply wipe that out of the memory, teach the students something else, and the students aren't learning proper virology or immunology at all. And I can say this with great confidence, because one of my nephews, a few years ago when he was a senior at Arizona State, about a month before the end of the semester, right before he graduated, he was flunking immunology. Mm-hmm. And I texted him and I said, "Honey, what's up?" And I won't use his name. And he said, "You don't understand, Aunt Judy. They're not teaching you the immunology. They're not teaching the immunology you and Frank taught me." That means Uncle Frank. Frank Rossetti isn't my husband and never was. But when Logan, when my nephew was a little boy, he knew him as Uncle Frank, because I didn't get married till a few years ago. So we went and looked at what they were teaching him, and it wasn't even close to immunology that we know to be true. It was pharma immunology, CDC immunology. So I am taught by a Chinese professor. So the Americans don't get the jobs, and people that will teach the real science don't get the jobs. They don't get the jobs.
And so you forgot to teach him how the university systems work now, right? You just have to say what's the correct answer and just repeat it.
Right.
Whether it's correct or not.
Yeah, well, what I did with him is I retrained him completely. Dr. Rossetti and I spent about 4 hours a day. He's a great kid, my nephew, and he worked very hard. And we got to the Gardasil, the vaccine parts of it, and he says, "Aunt Judy, what do I do?" And we taught him exactly that. Here's the answer. Reason it out. you know, make sure. And he said, what do I do if they ask about that? And I said, you write exactly the truth. And if they flunk you, I'll be on her like a cheap suit.
Okay, good. So you've got work to do.
He ended up getting a 98 on the test, for the highest grade on the test, and he passed the class with a B average, as you have to at Arizona State. And, uh-huh. and he said, Aunt Judy, when do I tell them who you and Uncle Frank are? I said, never, never. Just get your degree and get out of the job.
Yeah. Leave as fast as possible.
Exactly.
One of the things that we didn't really get into that's probably on a lot of people's mind, and it will be soon, because if they get their way, they want mandatory testing of everybody.
Right.
Let's tell people what kind of testing they're doing, which I believe is still the PCR test. And I think that it's for coronavirus in general. So it's got two things to explain. One is the difference between being positive for coronavirus generically, and the other is, what about the test itself?
Yeah, well, certainly the test itself, we even learned more since the last time you and I talked, Richard. So okay. I got a text yesterday of a publication that showed the PCR test that's being used is using primers for consensus gamma retroviruses. So not only are you looking for only general coronaviruses,
wow.
but also looking for the gamma retroviruses, which we proved were in 6% of America, of Americans. So you've got HIV sequences, you've got XMRV sequences. Nobody knows what the PCR is looking at. You're activating the expression of the latent ones. You will turn positive. You're injecting those viruses, both corona and the gamma retroviruses, in every flu shot and in many vaccines, the polio vaccine. So essentially, everyone has them. If they wear the mask, you'll test positive for something. It's as if they cannot fail. And so they're testing with the test that is not intent. You're not detecting an infectious retrovirus. You're detecting a little piece, and you have no idea what that's 10% of the virus. What's the other 90%? And yet they're calling everything COVID-19, the disease. You know, you don't have a disease. You have a piece of RNA in your nose or in your nasal pharyngeal cavity. Mm-hmm. You're not a case if you're not sick. As you said, they're just anybody that saw you and you test with this test positive. So it's insanity, but beyond insanity. So, and then they're saying, oh, the antibody testing isn't anything valuable, because that's capturing all the families of coronavirus, and we've all been exposed to lots of coronaviruses. Right. So the antibody test is called false negative or false positive. And the PCR test, for the same reason, is called everybody's positive and you're a case. So
right.
It's the same problem with the non-specificity of the testing, and everybody turns out positive because we've all been exposed to the common cold, and all the children are heavily vaccinated, so they get the worst. They get they test positive the most. And then that same doctor at Rayleigh Medical Director said, oh, and the viral loads of these children are so high. A PCR test doesn't measure a viral load. You have to isolate and titer infectious virus to see what the viral load is. How many infectious particles are there? RNA is not an infectious particle and never was. So there's so many levels at which this fraud is just criminal fraud.
Yeah, it's so complex. It's like they're lowering the standards from what you said, so that the PCR test is just looking for basically anything. And
right.
if it was actually working under those parameters, everybody would be positive. So to make it more believable, they need a few false negatives thrown in there, right? To make it seem more realistic.
Sure. But they can get that.
What is the PCR test, briefly, in a simplified form, what's it really doing? And why, if they're just testing some of your mucosal tissue, basically, why couldn't they just get a little bit from the inside of your cheek and not go 6 inches into your nose? A lot of people have been wondering about that.
Well, so what you're doing is in your cheek, you'll get RNA and DNA in your cheek, but we have a lot of enzymes in our mouth. that made to degrade, to break apart, like just chew up.
The and first part of digestion, basically.
Correct, is to break up the RNA and DNA from the meat you eat, from everything you eat, because there's all kinds of microbial sequences, you know, fermented foods and things like that, whether bacteria or what. So we have a lot of enzymes in our mouth that break that down. So if you did just your mouth, they would all be called negative because you wouldn't find anything positive.
Yeah, that would ruin the whole point of everything.
Correct. And so if they go 6 inches up your nose, they're in your sinus cavity, in your brain, and so all they're doing is scraping the mucosal tissue because the virus isn't alive outside of the cell. So they've got to get a few cells.
I see. Okay.
They get nucleic acid for that. And then because it's an RNA virus, you have to do reverse transcription in order to make sure you're only looking at RNA and not DNA, because we have lots of DNA sequences of all kinds of viruses. We have 10% of our genome is a virome that's been silenced. So you want to know what's active. So you've got a piece of RNA that is being expressed in your nose, but again, that has up in your sinuses because you're breathing in the air, and that's another reason why you don't want to put on a mask and cover your nose, because the warm temperatures out in Phoenix and Arizona and New Mexico here will kill that won't be able to be transcribed into an infectious particle. So the heat does the same thing as those enzymes do in your mouth. But if you've worn that mask, you've amplified it and you've heated up in a wet way, in a humid way. There's no humidity where you are in Arizona and New Mexico. Right. Here we're in the desert, so that it can't thrive there. It has to live in liquid. So again, you've got to get with the mask. If you take off that mask and then you swab their nose, you've given it a place, a nice humid place to go, and you're gonna find it all the time, essentially all the time. So I tell everybody, do not allow any kind of test, not a blood test, not a swab, because actually on that swab, they can be contaminating it. As they, you know, and they do. The FDA found back in and scolded the CDC, saying the reagents were contaminated. So you see that swab that's out there, it can pick up anything because these things are, you know, literally everywhere. And so again, it's not specific for that SARS-CoV-2, and that's not what it's detecting at all.
Well, excuse me, some of the reasons that people are talking about that it can't be specific for SARS-CoV-2 is that they would need a sample of SARS-CoV-2 that's been isolated and you could compare it to, like a standard of some kind, right, which doesn't exist, as in my understanding.
Well, it actually does exist, but it's not from a human being. And the particle, that's the antibody test, because in an antibody recognizes a protein. So that's the mature particle with the nucleic acid in the middle. The RNA is in the middle of the mature particle. But that particle doesn't have to be there in your cells and in the swab. And there's no evidence there unless you verify that PCR with the antibody test, with a specific antibody test to show that it was that particle. And yes, they haven't isolated it from the sick people. They've only isolated and sequenced that from the monkey cell line they grew it in. So the manufacturer, pulling it out of a human being is very much different than manufacturing the virus in the monkey cells. And that's where you will get a lot of contaminating RNA, where you'd see the XMRVs and the HIV. Remember, there's HIV sequences in some of those strains.
Right.
So an HIV infected individual, which is millions of Americans, then you have, HIV sequences, so you can test positive because there are HIV sequences. If you're one of the 6% of America that is infected with the XMRVs, then you're going to test positive because they're in you all the time, and you will have activated their expression. And those can be found. So it gets really confusing, and that's where you know it's planned. It is, you know, they're on purpose doing this. They exactly know what they're saying, and the clinical symptoms we're seeing, and those who are most susceptible are the populations. I mean, 40 million Americans, yeah, you're going to find them. Mm-hmm. With reactive airway disease from vaccines, 47% of our children have asthma. Oh, so they already have a reactive airway disease. So they're the most, if they put on the mask, they're the most susceptible. And of course, children are heavily vaccinated.
So just to clarify, you said it was isolated from where it was manufactured.
Correct.
But does that mean that the chimera virus, which was put together by a bunch of pieces of other ones, HIV system to hang on to cells and other parts of MERS and SARS and things like that, the final version of that before it was released to the public was in the Wuhan lab, correct?
Correct.
And so it would have had to be isolated to be accurate out of the version that they released, probably in that lab.
Correct.
So how was that accomplished when that wasn't supposed to be known to the public?
Well, because they sent it around so that the little vials, remember the investigator that had the vials in a pocket?
Weren't those taken from the U.S., though?
Well, and the Wuhan lab. So
they
were doing when the U.S., the Barrick lab in North Carolina, the lab in Harvard, the lab in Winnipeg, Canada, so another biosafety level 4, Fort Detrick, China, and Switzerland. All of those labs are on the 2015 Nature Medicine paper discussing the emergence of this strain. And so you don't have purified virus in those vials. You have monkey kidney cells. So all of those viruses you just mentioned, not MERS. MERS isn't in this one. It's really XMRVs, SIV, the simian immune deficiency virus, simian virus 40, lots of monkey viruses, Mason-Pfizer monkey viruses, which are gamma retroviruses. So there are a lot of viruses in that manufacturing plant, in those cells. You're growing them up in 100-liter fermenters, and they'd been sharing them between laboratories between 2015 and 2019 when it emerged. So they manufacture it, and it's all over the world before it was released. And okay. So the last version came out of Wuhan, but they sent it to all of those labs who were co-authored the paper.
They sent just the isolated last version, or they sent the mix of everything?
They send the mix of it. You can't isolate the version or it'll die. It won't be infectious. Must have it in the cells.
Then if all they had to work with was the mix of everything, my question was, how did they reliably take out the specific one that was the one that's supposedly causing all this problem?
You can purify it. You purify it by centrifugation, and then you characterize it, and you say it's only that. But what about everything else that was there? So, yeah, they can purify it because they have 100-liter fermenters.
And you know the parameters to use in characterization.
Right.
Well enough before you look for it. Okay.
Right.
So they, if you wanted to actually test for that virus today to see who had it, who had it in their body, how would you do that rather than the fake test?
I would isolate it from the beginning. I would grow it up purify it. From, you know, I'd grow it in the cells from the human being. You can do that. That's what we were doing my whole life. Grow it up in the cell lines. You could grow it up even in the Vero monkey kidney cells. And you purify it by ultracentrifugation. And then you show it as a particle budding from the cells from the human being in the in their blood. And you and then you break open the capsule, break open the virion, and the RNA out of that, and then you do a sequence. You sequence exactly what's in there. And then because of the way the technologies go, you know, that's it's simple, it's easy, but that's never been done in the human. So that's what you were saying earlier. That's never been done. They never took it out of a human and put up from the human, purified it, and sequenced just that. So the strains that went around the world were all from, were all grown in the monkey kidney cells and characterized that way.
And since it was released from the Wuhan lab to the public, could it have mutated a lot since then?
Oh, absolutely, because every infection, immune competent people silence it. Interferons with their all, there's a million pathways, RNA cells, they degrade it, they change it, and these viruses don't have editing functions. They're so simple. They're just simple RNA viruses. And all they do is write their genome really fast. And you're growing it in hundreds of millions of cells. So if they made a mistake, they can't go back and fix the mistake. So you get multiple strains in a single human being. Every human being is a new lab, is a new strain, is a new. So the people where you get the most dangerous strains taking off are the immune compromised, are those that don't have type 1 interferon pathway. They're dendritic cells. They're the ME/CFS, the autistic, where they have under oxidative stress, where their mitochondria. Those are the people that are little virus factories. And that's what we've learned over 40 years with HIV/AIDS.
And now the fact, if they did a test like what you just described that was accurate and they found it in somebody, does that mean... What does that mean? They're sick, or what? What would that mean? It might not mean anything, right?
No, if they're healthy people and they're not compromised, means nothing. That would, you would call an asymptomatic carrier.
And the ones that they originally said were the big danger.
Correct, and they're not.
No,
and then you don't carry a coronavirus; you carry a retrovirus. So this is how we know the sequences of those primer pairs when you're using consensus gamma retrovirus. What's the most dangerous? Oh, it's the recombinant of the coronaviruses and the retroviruses with the HIVs, with the XMRVs, and they're now contagious. And if you wear the mask, what did you say? The mask is not...
Your mask protects me and my mask protects you. That way, if you're not wearing one, I can attack you because you're not protecting me.
Oh,
you have to understand the psychology.
I'm just trying to figure out how to explain the science.
It's very advanced science. It's, you know,
I see.
It's hard to understand. It's technical.
So your mask is amplifying your virus in you and making you sick, and you're blaming me. And my mask is making me sick, and neither are protecting anybody.
There's different versions, actually. It depends how advanced your understanding is. But in the stores, they have a sign up that says, my mask protects you and your mask protects me. That's why I can make you wear a mask, because your mask is what protects me. If your mask protects you, I couldn't complain. So
right.
It's pretty brilliant, actually.
I just can't wrap my head around that.
I know.
No sense.
You need some other courses to really understand it.
I see. Now that's 30 years I've got behind me.
Right. So, you know, before we get too much further, I want to make sure and tell everybody about the books.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of really valuable information there and everyone should read them.
Well, our New York Times best-selling book was published April 14th of 2020. It's called Plague of Corruption. And what it essentially shows you, it reads like prophecy. So Plague of Corruption, it reads like prophecy, that literally boiling down the science to sixth grade or less by, you know, my fabulous co-author, Kent Eken-Lively, who you know, is predicting the plandemic. And our new book, which will be published next week, is called The Case Against the Masks. And it's literally about only 70 pages long. It's a very quick read, a very short book to tell you how dangerous and how the mask is driving the cases, and the mask is driving the deaths and the disease. And it's intended to get out there very quickly with a lot of science. There are 70 or so references in it, and we explain these references in simple terms. So the case against the mask, both are Skyhorse Publishing. Both are available on Amazon. And of course, our first book, Plague, which was published first in November of 2014, shows you the plague of chronic diseases caused by these gamma retroviruses that were spread through contaminated blood supply, contaminated vaccines since the late 80s, early 90s, since the liability was removed from pharmaceutical companies and, in fact, anyone for the manufacturer or safety. So it talks about our revelations and how they tried to, you know, destroy my life and reputation when we realized what was going on, and we wouldn't back down and cover up the data. So Plague is the first book. Plague of Corruption and the Masks are this year.
Okay. You also mentioned, you said a lot of points close to this, but I wanted to ask you specifically, you said nobody should be tested because the tests are all fraudulent anyway. But another reason to not be tested is that if you test positive, first of all, they'll make you stay under lockdown longer, right, so that you can't live your life. But that is going to last theoretically, according to plan, if we don't get it reversed, until the vaccine is rolled out. And I think it's been available the whole time, but strategically and psychologically, it has to become available when hopefully everybody's begging for it so they can go back to work and not starve to death. And there's some things that are novel about the new vaccine. And I know that there are several different companies working on it. And this is material for obviously a whole other show, but just in a minute or two, are the new candidate vaccines that are all competing, which I think is just a show it's already chosen, but all competing for the new vaccine to be mandated, are those all the same type or are they different types? And if so, what about the type that has three prongs on it instead of one needle? It's got two that are positive and negative poles of an electric charge for opening up the permeability of the cell membrane so that an RNA can be put in there and change your DNA that can stay there permanently. I know, yeah, that's a lot, but
they're all subtly different forms of the same thing of literally injecting into you the RNA, which will be a detonate switch for anybody who's, you know, positive or to, you know, has the XMRVs, HIV, or the coronaviruses, and they will kill you. And yes, they have patents, you know, Tony Fauci, the NIH, they're partnering with these companies. It's the same thing, the CDC, it's all part of the plague of corruption. And so I think the worst thing about the vaccines is the most important thing is never get another shot. And I say never, meaning no flu vaccines, no MMRs, no D, nothing, because those will drive everybody to be begging for them. And by the time it gets to the COVID vaccine, they will have already killed everybody and covered it up. And then they've got you because they've tagged you forever. And then they will chip you when they do these tests as well. So don't test in any way because you have absolutely no idea what they're going to do with the data, and they will target you.
Chips are actually pretty small now. I mean, they can go in syringes, right? They could be manufactured into syringes.
Absolutely.
But there is a possibility that they won't need to do that because of using an injectable liquid dye that's readable by a cell phone app from the outside.
Right.
Whereas chips are theoretically surgically removable, the dye won't be because it permeates the tissues.
Correct. And all those dyes. Yes.
We'll see which way they go. Any last, like, boiled down words, and then hopefully we'll have you back, but bottom lines to remember of...
Bottom line, chips. No masks, no shots.
Yeah.
Go back to your lives. And, yeah, and say no. We've got to all take that responsibility and say no. It is... calmly, without anger, speak the truth in love, just say no thank you and move on.
Right. Okay, well, you're incredibly appreciated, and we're among your fans. So stay in touch, and we'll do some more very shortly.
For sure. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good night.
Okay, you too.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Doug. Bye.
Okay, you guys, that was Dr. Judy Mikovits, and I wanted to have somebody on who not only has incredible depth and breadth of knowledge about specifically all these things we're talking about, way beyond anything I'm aware of, and she's done some great work, and but she's also got the conventional credentials that can't legitimately be argued with. She's been willing to be attacked and be sent to jail and everything for telling the truth, and example to everybody else for character, which I think is very centrally important to whether we can get this turned around. And for the people that are working within the system, there are two categories that I've noticed trying to implement this whole program that's, you know, the destruction of the world economy and world societies all over the planet. The vast majority of them don't know that they're doing something bad, like the Texas head of emergency services who just came out and said, yes, we now the biggest danger is that you're not wearing a mask inside your house. And, you know, I mean, they don't realize that they're not scientists. They're religious followers of scientism, or whatever you want to call that new religion. And I know from being inside the university system that that's the way things are taught now. Here's what CDC says. Here's what WHO says. Here's what this acceptable peer-reviewed journal paper says. Memorize it. Cite it. Consider it as truth. I mean, this is so far from what real science is. There's no comparison. And I think that the people who are highly educated within that system are really not to blame. I mean, they think they're scientists, but they're religious followers. And the real science, which at various times in history was followed at least by some of the people, and usually attacked by the main scientific community, who wasn't really into science at all. They were just, you know, blindly following what was acceptable at the time. Real scientists, you can recognize them, because they question everything. They're not trying to defend a position. They're not trying to say, well, I know everything, therefore, you know, arguing with me is anti-science, and the science is settled, and they say all this kind of ridiculous stuff. And they may actually believe it because of their so-called education. The real scientists, whether they've ever been to school or not, and going to school makes it harder to be a real scientist in my experience, even though the scientists in the schools would say, what? That's blasphemy. You know, we're learning science and you don't know anything because we have these, you know, specialties and the science is settled and we happen to have all the approved information. That has nothing to do with science, you guys. And there's no ego in science at all. What pretends to be science these days is something really different, and it's largely massively ego-centered ignorance. And then there are people at levels above that who do know about it and are perpetuating it anyway because they think they'll get some kind of personal gain, or they think the population's going to be reduced and they're going to be in the elite remnant that gets to enjoy the world after that. But the ones at the very top, at least in my experience, as far as I've looked into it, they completely know what it's about, and they know there isn't going to be an elite remnant. It's a suicide mission. And if you really grasp that, which apparently almost no one does, they can't imagine that the bad guys would want to, and not to be sexist, the bad guys and the bad women, because there's a lot of those too, showing they have equality, right? They can just be as terrible as the men. Most people can't imagine that the people working for evil would actually want to destroy everything, including themselves, but that's what the top level's doing. And once that's really grasped in detail and with all the context that goes with it, then all these other sub-agendas make sense. The whole Agenda 21 thing makes sense. The geoengineering makes sense. The injection, you know, the highly scientific settled science of vaccines, and the idea of poisoning your food before you eat it, which is called modern agriculture. That makes sense. The fluoride in the water makes sense. The fact that they're calling these things conspiracy theories makes sense, that they invented that concept after JFK was murdered to make sure anybody who thought it was more than Lee Harvey Oswald would be considered a complete fool. And it worked on most of the population because they don't want to feel like, you know, they're ostracized or that people think they're stupid or anything like that. And it's working today. And anybody that begins to comprehend the depth of the real collusion can be called a conspiracy theorist. And most of them get knocked off track by doing that. And they say, oh, no, I didn't really mean it. You know, what's the acceptable information? I'll say that. So this is a really involved story. And in a way, it's a consciousness test for us, for the population. It's not going to work on us if we are awake. But if we're asleep thinking we're awake, it's going to work. So it's our choice. And for us and for the kids and for the generations that are trying to come after us, we need to try to learn how to be conscious and then do the work. And it's not doing the work forcing other people to change how they are. It's on yourself. Much more challenging, but it is possible. That's what we're doing in Planetary Healing Club every week. If you get interested in that, it meets a half hour after this show is over every week, Saturday at 4:30, 5:30, 6 Pacific and 9 Eastern on Saturdays. You're personally invited if you have any interest in that, taking it further into practical levels. And we're not there to fight against or hurt the bad guys because they need to be rescued from their programming just like we do. And the people who are monitoring this, we're not your enemies. We're trying to reach in through your programming and pull you out and realize what you're missing, because working for destruction is not a good plan. It's not going to be good for you, even though you've been taught it is. Not that you listen to me necessarily, but I'm just telling you in case you want to consider it. Working for evil has bad results on yourself, not just on everybody else. They're inseparable. And that's, we're over time. That's all we have time for. So anybody that wants to help us stay on the air, who's got the resources to do that, go to our site, lostartsradio.com. There's a donate button there. It goes to our nonprofit, which keeps this whole thing running, and would really like to get above the survival level and be able to activate our other projects, including our school that we want to build. You'll see a little bit more of that on LostArtsResearchInstitute.org, which also has a donate button, goes to the same place. We also have a Subscribestar page, Subscribestar.com/LostArtsRadio. And you can subscribe to us on Brighteon also, which I highly recommend, because even if we're not on major channels, if anything happens, we'll still be on Brighteon. And that's brighteon.com/channel/LostArtsRadio. And that way you'll stay in touch with us between all those things. Remember, we have a Sunday night show too. And that tomorrow, those are really, in fact, the one tomorrow is going to be relevant to all we talked about tonight. Peggy Hall from thehealthyamerican.com is going to be there. So I think you'll enjoy it. Sorry for being late. I ran over. I really appreciate you sharing the time with us. And again, we're not seeing anybody as our enemies. Everybody's got to be waked up, whether they're playing the role of the bad guys or the role of the good guys. Underneath the roles in the programming, we're the same. I know that a lot of people don't know that, but that's what I found to be true. So I hope you have a great week this week. Thanks again for the time, and we'll look forward to seeing you again this time next week, right back here, and maybe tomorrow on Sunday as well. And you're invited, remember, to Planetary Healing Club, and check that out at planetaryhealingclub.com. Talk to you soon. Have a good week.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/LostArtsRadio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sacks, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sacks and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.